Pauline, thank you so much for joining us here at the Last Post podcast. How have you been?
Great. We're really happy after everything that's happened lately.
Yeah. How important was it, was the success of the campaign to fund that prize money that you didn't get for the world winning the world surfing title in 93? How important was that for you?
For me, it was really important. I mean, the money's a bonus, don't get me wrong, but just the recognition. Because, you know, for years and years being at the top of my sport and at my time, you know, the 20 years I was on tour, I'd won, you know, I was one of the top winners. You know, I'd won 20 major tournaments and 8 of the other QS events. And I never really got recognised for it. And, you know, the last couple of years I've been unwell and I was laying around feeling sorry for myself and I thought, wow, kind of feel like I achieved a lot in my career and didn't get any recognition for it. And then now for it to come along and the GoFundMe to reach its goal, it really showed me just how quick it reached 25,000 and showed me how many people actually have always supported me within the community, but not necessarily within the surfing community. I mean, not community, so surfing sponsors, because, you know, I did recognize quite a lot of the names that helped out and, you know, to get that kind of money that fast, I kind of felt like it was people that knew my story.
Yeah, yeah. Did you feel the love?
Oh, absolutely. Like the love has been incredible and I think it's been a big part of helping me heal at the moment as well.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say, you bring up the points about the number of titles you won, was it 20 WC? And then 8 of the WQS, I think it was?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, which I think I interviewed Lane Beachley a few years ago, but I think that's the most from a woman surfer, Australian woman surfer outside of Lane.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the record is now, but for a long time I was on par with I think Kelly Slater, Andy Irons. I remember like being on par with them. And you know, I think I won that much because I had to. So my mum always taught me there's a positive in every negative.
Yeah.
And the negative was, yeah, I didn't have the support, but I was really successful because I had to be. You know, there was times that I had like $100 left and I'd have to go to Europe. I was in America and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to get there. And then I'd turn around and win that event. And that seemed to happen to me quite a lot. So I did well under a lot of pressure.
You bring up a good point. We'll speak about how you won and the things you had to go through to win and actually to stay on the tours, Pauline. But that was it a visualisation of winning or was it just that things happened to fall into place at the right time for you? You just mentioned about not having enough money to get to America or worrying about that at least and then winning a title on the back of that worry. Do you think that brings out the best in you when you're in the corner?
You know, I think my arthritis was bad quite often because of the stress of like having no money. So that was hard. And that was probably my biggest challenge is overcoming pain and stiffness and just trying to get my body to be normal every day. It was such a challenge that the competing side of it, when I put my mind to it, I was able to achieve what I needed to achieve because, you know, like I said, my daily struggles were so hard. That, yeah, once I put my mind to winning, I just seem to do it quite well.
That's right. It's amazing what we have inside of us that we sometimes don't unleash. And you seem to have unleashed a lot of that positivity throughout your career and even now by having your story shared to Australia and the world through Girls Can't Surf, the movie, and the fact of what you've done with your chosen sport, surfing. I know some don't call it a sport, but let's just say sport for the time being, but it's just... Was it more than a sport for you? I mean, you started at 12 or something at Bondi or?
Yeah, it was a lifestyle for me. It was not just a sport. It's something like to be a professional surfer, you have to be, you know, one of the best, but you also have to have everything right around you. Like I had my partner traveling with me at the time and I had a really good coach here, Steve Foreman in Byron Bay. And so, like, I had that network of people around me that really helped me piece it together. And I don't know how they go nowadays But when I was doing the tour, it seemed to be that most people that won a world title were ones that weren't just traveling on their own. They had some kind of support network around them.
Mm. And of course, you had your coach, and who was your lover?
Yeah. So that was what I called her at the time, because back then, you know, it was the 80s and 90s, and it was really hard to get sponsors as it is. And then hearing that Jodie lost her sponsor because she was gay, I thought, there's no way I'm going to come out at that time. And then also there was a lot of murders in Bondi, and one of them happened to be a guy that lived only, you know, 10 doors up from me. And to find out, I knew that he died, but it wasn't until, you know, 10 years later that they did an inquiry and found out that these guys were all murdered because they were gay.
Yeah.
And so that made me really quite fearful of coming out. And, yeah, it was hard because I'm a very honest, truthful person. It was really strange for me to never really let people know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess I handled that way. Sorry?
That's part of you. That's a part of you, a vital part of you.
Yeah, it's a big part of me. And I guess, you know, being a competitor but also dealing with my arthritis really built my character, so I was able to handle not being open about that, and also having a partner that was accepting of me hiding it, because that's also a really hard pressure to put your partner under.
Mm. You spoke about the tour briefly, etc. What was it like back in the 80s and 90s? You hit the scene and you had, I think, a really good year in 91 before you won in 93, but above and beyond all of that, or not above it, but as part of all that, what was it like to be girl, female surfer during that period regarding respect and everything else attached to respect?
You know, there was always a mixture of both. There was really supportive men and women around me, and then there was the real chauvinistic, disrespectful, nasty side of it as well. And you know, I chose to kind of turn a blind eye to the nasty people and just latch on to all the good people. And, you know, when it got really bad, I just started to stick up for myself. I just had enough. I grew up in Bondi where it was pretty tough, and had three brothers that were pretty tough on me as well. And then when things happened that I didn't believe were right, you know, I'd be just really loud about it. And I'll never forget, one of the judges at one stage just said, in a meeting with all the girls, said, oh, why don't you girls actually come forward and tell us when you're not happy with us? She said, the only person that actually comes and tells us off is Pauline. and so I don't know if that was a good thing or not, but he said he learns from people telling them, you know, what they think. And so when he said that, it made me realise, you know, it can make a difference if we all stick up for ourselves. And you know, when it came into the 90s, a lot of the girls were just so fed up that all of us decided to take a stand and, you know, decide not to surf certain waves and create our own little organisation where we had our own representative go forward and represent all of the women.
Mm.
And it really was, it was a turnaround for us, but it was also, the guys thought it was a battle against us and them, whereas it wasn't really. We just wanted equal rights. We just wanted to surf the same kind of waves, get the same kind of money. And so they started even trying to put us out in worse waves, and then that's when we would just send our representative forward and just say, no, we're not going out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that worked. Mm. And then we realized we did have some power, and then slowly through time, and even now that I've finished, it's just gotten a bit better and a bit better and a bit better. So to where it is today, equal prize money is absolutely amazing. A lot of us didn't think it would happen in our lifetime. So it's really wonderful to see. And the other thing I have to say is, you see the young 10 to 14-year-olds now, they're absolutely incredible. They're surfing as good as the guys.
Mm.
And all those guys that said girls will never surf as good as the guys, look out, because this next generation,
you'll be
surprised.
And it's it seems to be a reflection of some of society's feelings, and not too many, let's hope, but in the ongoing fight for respect and equality for women, some men do seem to think it's a battle against them, but that's not the way it is, and people should be able to see that.
Yeah, I find that most of the guys that react that way are actually uneducated, and yeah, just their lack of education feels threatened by women where they shouldn't be.
Yeah, no, it's very true, and good on you for bringing that into focus at a time where this is really part of the conversation we need to be having as a country. And for you being an inspirational woman, an inspirational surfer person, et cetera, et cetera. I was just thinking before when I called surfing a sport, Nat Young would kill me. He would kill us if he doesn't like it being called a sport.
Yeah, but what's Nat Young's voice? He's very anti everything. He's anti women. I never forget when he said that comment on the news that we couldn't surf, and I was very quick to ring up his wife and say, tell your husband what I think of him. I won't repeat the words I said, and I'll go against him in the heat any day. And wow. Yeah, that never happened.
But interesting. That would have been Clash of the Titans.
Yeah. So it very much so is a sport. No matter what Nat thinks, it's an amazing sport. And the way that surfing has pushed it now is to an amazing level of the gymnasts. You know, when I was surfing, we didn't have to be fit like gymnasts, but nowadays they seem to be so fit, and you see them training all the time on Instagram. They're absolutely incredible athletes.
Amazing stuff. A lot of this came about through, I suppose, the movie Girls Can't Surf, and we had the director, Chris is lobbying Waverley Council, but for a statue for you, which we'll talk about in a moment, Pauline. But the movie Girls Can't Surf, what's your view of the movie?
Well, you know, we did interviews for a good 6-8 hours, and I gave a lot of my own footage, and I'm sure a lot of the girls gave a lot of their footage, and we really had no idea. And so a year passed, and because of COVID, it still wasn't released. And we're getting quite antsy thinking, when is this going to be released? And we're lucky enough to be able to see it at home. We're all given the link to it for a week. And mind you, it wasn't on the big screen, but we were all blown away. There was, because it was, again, restrictions. I think I had 10 people at my friend's house, and then 10 people come to my house to do 2 showings in that week.
Yeah.
And everyone went away. We got put through every emotion, like laughing, crying, angry, and really inspired. And there was quite a few people there that didn't surf. And I said to them, what did you think about the film? And they said, it doesn't matter that you're not a surfer. I find it so inspiring and absolutely awesome. And just after seeing everyone's reaction, and it was like everyone was buzzing, I just knew it would do well. And then when we saw it on the big screen, I was like, wow, it's just absolutely incredible. It's in your face, so many emotions. And then, you know, even after the first premiere in Sydney, I got so many messages of people just saying thank you, and your girls are inspiring, and even people who have the same illness as me just saying thank you for not giving up. Now you've given me inspiration. Yeah. And so it made me realise this movie is so important in history, not just for surfing, but in general as role models and just pioneers pushing through, whether it be a sport or anything. It made me just realise just how important this movie is.
Mm. So you're a mentor to people, and not only you, but the women surfers that are being recognised as equals, and you provide being a mentorship for many young men and women. I was listening to the radio yesterday about the cricket, the women's cricket, and they're in New Zealand, and they asked this young guy, he was about 12, what he thought of this particular male cricketer. And he said, oh, he's great, he said, but he's not as good as such and such. And he mentioned a female cricketer's name, which was a wonderful moment for recognition in such a young lad.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And you know, I find I'm just watching the surfing today and listening to the commentary. You know, it used to be so different where they'd say, oh, like, you know, that's good for a girl. And So all that's changed, and it's wonderful to see. And again, like seeing all these young, really young girls, the videos, and who's sharing them. Like the top guys are sharing these videos of girls. They're really inspired by it. So it's really nice to see that they're not threatened anymore. They're just treating them just as good surfers.
Yeah, indeed. And how's Chris coming along, or the people involved in lobbying Waverley to get a statue of you at Bondi? Because, of course, that's where you started, as we've mentioned before. What's happening with that?
So as far as I know, they're putting it to the general public to see what they want to do. The reaction I saw from Bondi so far is that everybody really wants a statue. So I'm not sure what's going to happen if it goes through a certain process, but I was told that they're definitely doing a mural for now and a section in the pavilion.
Oh, cool.
And then I guess we wait and see what happens with the statue. I think they might have to do like a crowdfund me or something like that if that's what they decide to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's wonderful. It's a mural of you and at the pavilion.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's good to hear. Because I was thinking of getting in contact with Chris, but I'll speak to you about that later. So now, of course, you drive the school bus, Pauline, and what's life like up there for you?
I love my job. I actually took time off during COVID because I've got no immune system myself, and I really missed it. I'm doing a little bit of a different school run at the moment, but the school run I was doing before, there was quite a lot of kids on there that surf, and so they're always asking for hints, and I love, you know, helping them as much as I can. And then we all surf at the same local beach, so it was really nice to go down there and, you know, I wasn't surfing again, but I was up on the wall like saying, do this or do that. And yeah, I really missed it when I had the time off, and being back doing it is really wonderful. And a lot of the kids on my new run didn't know who I was and what I did. And now with all the media, they can't not know. And quite a few of the kids that surf have started to come up to me now and started talking to me. So it's really nice. Hopefully through being a bus driver and a surfer, I can encourage kids on the right track of doing something that's really, really wonderful to do. It's free to go surfing each day, keeps them out of trouble. And, you know, I'd say that I'm a kind bus driver, but strict. So still try and teach kids right from wrong. Yeah. And, you know, have that respect when they hop on the bus. And, you know, when I first was doing it, the kids were absolutely out of control on this new bus run. They were jumping from the ceilings and loud as anything. And I'm like, right, my mission is to, like, settle these kids down. And, now they're really quite wonderful.
Mission accomplished.
Exactly. Took a while.
Yeah, I just remember, as you probably do, school days on the school bus going home. Jeez, that was incredible. Yeah. I was always very good, of course, but
yeah. I think we're all naughty, but it always is the afternoon run that's they're crazy because they've been hyped up all day, or it depends on how much sugar they've had, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Right. That's the danger run, that's for sure, too. You deserve an award apart from the surfing just for that. Oh, geez. So it's been marvellous talking to you, Pauline, and the podcast, and as recognition of just a great achievement and recognition and the way things have panned out is quite wonderful. But as you said about your mental capability to jump hurdles, this has come at the right time and produced what we looks like a happy ending. So thank you.
Yeah, it's just awesome. And like also for me to be going through another illness, it's kind of quite similar to arthritis. It's called pemphigus vulgaris.
Yeah.
And it's a very rare autoimmune disease. And basically that attacks your skin. So it's kind of like arthritis. Instead of attacking your joints, though, your skin blisters and it's incredibly painful. And so that's been actually one of the hardest journeys of my life. And now I've come through that. Still got it, but I've got it under control. To get all this love, I feel like I'm healing so much more because of it. And to come out of that and be where I am today, I'm pretty stoked.
Fantastic. It's an excellent time in your life in regards to recognition and And thanks for being part of this, Pauline. It's been absolutely wonderful.
You're welcome.